Welcome back, my friends. Luke 15 today on Through the Word. Have you ever lost something that was truly precious to you? A special gift from an old friend? Or perhaps a faithful dog gone missing? If so, you know just how heavy the word lost can feel. Now, as Christians, we sometimes use the word lost to refer to unbelievers, not always well received. Or better yet, to describe ourselves before we knew Jesus. I once was lost. I didn't have direction. I was in danger. But as valid as that is, Jesus offers another perspective on lost here in Luke 15. One that's less about me wandering and more about God's view. And pay close attention to whom Jesus tells it to. Verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So the story ahead is told to religious leaders who say they love God, but who just can't stand all the sinners around Jesus. I can almost hear them muttering, disdain, disgust. And it wasn't just the sinners that bothered them. It was the way Jesus welcomed them, even ate with them. So Jesus tells them a parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." So there's a lost sheep. But Jesus' story isn't just about the sheep or how lost he feels. It's about the shepherd. He lost a sheep that he values, that he cares for. He searches for it. He leaves 99 sheep to find one lost because he's a good shepherd and he cares. Think about that. The Pharisees look at all these sinners and they're lost. They are way off God's path for their lives. But all the Pharisees see is wandering fools, the kind that we avoid. But do they see the heart of God? Do they see the good shepherd right in front of them who cares so much for his dear sheep? One who came a very long way just to find them. And oh, when he finds that one sheep. Verse 7. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Why is it that God keeps on loving these sinners, these lost souls? Getting through to the Pharisees isn't easy, so he tells another parable in verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." So story number 2 is about a lost coin. This one is a drachma, and it's worth a full day's wages. Think about how much you make in a full day of work. Now imagine losing that much. That's money you need to live on. You search for that kind of money. I once lost my wedding ring for months. That one hurt. And when I found it, the joy. I was celebrating, literally dancing. I went searching the house for people to celebrate with. It was awesome. And that's the woman's story. She tells the neighbors. But don't miss it. That should have been the Pharisees. They're the neighbors. God is knocking on the door, smiling from ear to ear and saying, "Look what I found." And they just don't get it. No compassion, no care for the lost. When a godly person doesn't care about something that God is passionate about, something's wrong. But keep in mind, God wants them back too. Jesus is telling these stories for that very reason, to move the hearts of the Pharisees back to God. So he tells one more in verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had 2 sons. Pause there. 2 sons. Now, you've likely heard this story. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal means wasteful and recklessly extravagant. If you're a dad, prodigal means pain in your butt. but do not miss that this is a story of two sons. Sinners and religious hypocrites are both lost, just in different ways, and they are both precious to God. Both are pictured here as beloved sons, and at every point in the story, the father loves both of his children. The question is, will the hypocrites see themselves? A little tip, if you read Jesus' parables and always see others in the story but never see yourself, you're probably missing something. Verse 12, the younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. You dumb, entitled, arrogant fool! You just couldn't see how good you had it, how much your dad loves you. He gave you everything. And yeah, there were rules, but dad's rules were keeping you safe and alive. Now, to feel the impact here, in that culture, the son's request for his share of the estate was like telling his dad, "You're basically dead to me, so just give me my inheritance." Take a moment to feel that one. Then remember that the dad in this story represents God, because people do this to God all the time. They want the blessings without the rules, so they take God's money and run. It's foolish, but they do it. We do it, but it doesn't last. Life apart from God, life rejecting God's rules and wisdom, gets ugly quick. The young man in the story goes broke in a hurry, and he's living with pigs. But what can he do? He told his father, "You're not my dad anymore." But in verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." It's a powerful scene. The dad never, ever stops loving his son. He runs for him and hugs him. There is no feeling in the world like getting a child back. We have grown kids now. Our whole world lights up whenever one of them just comes to visit. But a lost child. I read an article about a couple who got their daughter back after 23 years missing. For years, their sorrow was immeasurable. But imagine the overwhelming joy of getting their girl back again. Much was lost over the years, but she's back. And God feels that every time one of us comes home. Verse 21. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, wait, what's meanwhile? Isn't the story over? Nope. Remember that Jesus is telling this to the Pharisees. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. The older son, he's the good kid, rule follower. And watch his response. "All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders." Slaving, that's how he sees his relationship. As for his brother, he calls him this son of yours. You give him a party? Him? See, the prodigal child rejected the father's authority and rule. The self-righteous rejects his mercy and love. Both are lost. Both are loved. The prodigal says, "You're not the boss of me." The elder says, "Hey, boss, why do you still call him son?" They both miss the love of their father. Verse 31. "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The father makes two things clear. You are not a slave. You are my son, and he is your brother. He has returned. When will you?
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.